Okay, Vadim, I just want to thank you for coming by and sitting down with me and talking about Persian lessons. Congratulations on everything going on with the film right now.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm very actually extremely pleased and surprised that after a long run in the world,
yeah,
and actually being on some streaming platforms all over the world, Cohen Media decided to put it out in the theaters. I think it's incredible show of their belief, and I didn't expect it. It was a really good surprise.
Yeah, definitely. Just to kick things off, for the kind of a generic question, but just to kind of kick things off, for the sake of our readers and anyone who will be watching this interview between you and I, who has not seen the film yet, let's give an elevator pitch for the film to the audience.
Well, it's a Holocaust movie, which, actually is now a genre, kind of its own. And it's a film that, is different from the others because, there's like a scale of realism and maybe like intensity in it. And on the left side of it is Son of Saul. On the left side of it is like, perhaps even Schindler's List, Night and Fog, where the viewer is taken by the scruff of their neck and just rubbed in face, in the horror and the inhumanity of it all, right? And the other end of the spectrum is like Jojo Rabbit, perhaps Life is Beautiful to a certain extent, even Tin Drum, so in a sense you get kind of the periphery done with humor, done with through sometimes even a farce, where you have a comedic way of, I wouldn't say comedic, but it's a lighthearted approach to a very heavy subject. I guess, and this is not just my words, but people say that this one's right down the middle, so that it has a elements of comedy. I mean, you laugh. Elements of a thriller, drama, obviously tragedy. So, and the film is, the plot line is quite simple, is that a Jewish man in the northern France, 1942, gets taken in by Nazis, caught, captured, and he's transported to a ravine where they're all to be shot by the SS. And in the last ditch effort, he takes out a recently procured book in Farsi, which he cannot read or do. He traded it for a sandwich in the truck and holds it up and says, I'm not Jewish, I'm Persian. And again, in a fluke, the Nazis go, stop, don't shoot him. Because Hauptsturmfuhrer Koch in the camp, for some bizarre reason, needs a Persian. And so they, and he's going to give us 10 cans of meat for the reward is 10 cans of meat. So they transport the guy, and Koch grills him and asks him if he really does know Farsi. We don't know why he needs it yet. And he does, passes the test. So now our main character, Gilles, is tasked with coming up with the language, faking it because he doesn't know a word of Farsi. Making up a whole language, surviving by doing it. And it becomes an incredible story, like a cliff, an incredible, bated breath story of will he survive? It's twists and turns and so on, fills up the middle of it. And then there's a very, very, I'm sure viewers have read the reviews at that point, there's a very, very dramatic and touching ending, which heartrending, I would say, it's not my words, but the critics, kind of justifies what he did, that it wasn't just survival for himself, he did inadvertently, he made a great heroic act and a memorial to the Jews that have perished in the war.
Agreed. So early on in like one of the opening shots, it said the film is inspired by true events and correct me if I'm wrong, and if you want to elaborate. I mean, obviously, this was also pulled from a short story of some sorts. How did you uncover something like this?
Well, you know, I didn't, but the writer, the screenwriter, you know, he was, as when he was a young man, he was in Soviet Union still. He read a short story written in East Germany by East German writer, Wolfgang Kohlhausen, and it was called The Invention of a Language. And it was essentially a short story, 14-page short story. It was almost a sketch of what we did. You know, didn't have the ending, didn't have the details, but it was, you know, a prisoner teaching a couple, in that case, Parsi. And that's it. It was just like a clever twist on things. So, but it was definitely inspired by that short story, our film. But I think mostly I've searched the internet through and through for like a person surviving the camps by teaching a language. I couldn't find it. So that's why the word inspired is there and not based on, you know, and, okay. It's justified, I think, because it was inspired by even more far-fetched events that happened in the Holocaust, you know, and, you know, like a man and a woman from two different sides of the camp falling in love through the fence, surviving, ending up together in Israel after the war. You know, those are all things that are incredibly unbelievable if you think about it. So the unbelievability of the story takes it more into the fable, you know, realm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, wouldn't it be cool if this actually happened? So it's not. I can't give you the name of the guy that actually went through it, but who knows?
I do want to talk about locations because everything at the camp, all the stuff with the soldiers, all those areas felt so lived in to me personally. Just where was this film shot?
This film was shot in Belarus. For many reasons. One was, probably the main one is budget, is that Belarus is very inexpensive to shoot in. And it was, it made our money go very far on the screen. You know, so the budget was actually, you know, I don't think I'm at liberty to tell it, but it was very, very low for what you see. And what we did is I found this building. It was an abandoned building, which had a very, very dark history. It used to be a Gestapo headquarters during the war. Then it was a KGB prison. And so I can imagine the amount of people that perished in that building. I felt it through the walls. And it was completely abandoned, no windows, nothing. And it was a U-shaped with a quad and this weird smokestack in the middle. And so what we did is in the quad, we built the kitchen, Koch's office, restaurant, you know, all the ancillary spaces of the camp we built. But the actual barrack with the, you know, the domed ceiling and the arched window, we used the second floor of that existing building. And they didn't even have floorboards, so we had to put in floorboards and make OPEC. And it was a tough shoot, man. In you know, it was winter and it was like 10 degrees colder inside than it was outside in that stone walls. And just the atmosphere was, you know, it was very method.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I could tell. It felt very bleak, like the color. I mean, some of that stuff I know comes in post-production, but like it just, there was a very bleak, gloomy tone to it.
Right. That was a conscious decision.
Yes. In terms of your characters, especially your two leads, I'll touch on them a little bit, but with this preliminary question, I guess, I felt that you achieved making characters that usually would be unsympathetic or an audience member wouldn't have any empathy towards them at all. And yet there's times in the film where I don't want to say you're on that character's side, but you're kind of getting that. Yeah. Talk about your processes in achieving that from a director's standpoint.
Well, achieving that was the actor's job, really, because achieving the sympathy or empathy, I would say, for the SS guy. But what first had to come was a very scary decision on my part, being Jewish. Having never seen it, really, maybe read it in a few things, you know, that the fact that the Nazis were also humans, you know, were also human beings with love, with jealousies, with, you know, with fears and all that. And, you know, we never delve deep into there. They, you know, they're always portrayed as, you know, just robots, evil, you know, robots.
Yeah.
So all the film, so it showing this didn't, showing the humanity, humanizing a little bit, had the effect of, I think that was my theory and I was proven right, thank God, had the effect of people saying, well, that what they did is even more evil if they're, you know, we can't just excuse them because hey, that's what they do, they're Nazis, you know. Yeah. That's what a scorpion, he stings, you know, so yeah. What are you gonna do, right? So in this case, and that makes us, that turned the film from everything else that's been done before, where it was, we should see this film and the moral lesson is we could all be the Jews in the future. We could all be the victim. We could all be picked on and as the victims. But I think it turned it, not only that, but also we could all be the Nazis, you know?
Yeah.
So that's, and that makes it, in a way, that's, you know, kind of a moral lesson behind the thing.
Gotcha.
Is that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the film really separates itself from other World War II or Holocaust movies.
Thank you.
I felt like you were trying to shift away from the norm of past films of this subject. Were you intentionally trying to do that, or did you draw from any past films over the last 40, 50 years, 60 years?
You know, I have seen them all, really. I never drew from, I hate drawing from films to make a film. you know, no, seriously, it's not, it sounds pompous, but I really, I don't want to repeat anything you're doing. Sometimes inadvertently it happens, but a small detail, right? If you remember, there's not a single swastika in that camp.
True, yeah.
Isn't that funny? And
yeah,
bad
now
films,
that you mention it, yeah.
Yeah, and they didn't have it. They never had it. And I checked that. They didn't have it because they wanted it. It was still a secret operation. The whole, yeah. You know, the whole Final Solution. You know, so in a way that the cheesy films, sometimes good cheesy films, doesn't matter. You know, they say, well, they're Nazis. We should have swastikas all over, of course, you know. And it was that kind of, that's a small detail, but that kind of realism, I kind of wanted to translate to everything.
Okay.
You know, and I wanted it to be a very drab, dirty, everything's in earth tones, you know, environment. That's it.
Yeah. I got to ask about your two lead actors. Great performance, great chemistry. I don't know if roller coaster is the word of a relationship, but they do have a very complex relationship. Yeah. Just talk to me
symbiotic
about
symbiotic relationship.
Working. Just talk to me about working with the two of them.
Well, I don't direct actors. I really don't. Like on set, for sure. You know, I may adjust very slightly.
Yeah.
I mean, for example, with Noel, who played Gilles, you know, my only input to him was the level of fear that he exhibits on camera and as an aside with Koch not seeing it. You know, so, and then that was quite important because I had to gauge that. Because he goes through a progression of not giving a shit anymore.
Yeah.
He goes through a progression where, you know, his survivor guilt kicks in and he doesn't care anymore. And he loses the fear. And the balance, the power balance shifts to him.
Yeah.
You know, at a certain point through the film. And he has his ultimate comeuppance in the end. So, but working with, actors to me is everything, you know, and actors, what I do with actors is I spend maybe 95% of my work with actors is casting. You know, I take it very seriously and I take a long, long time to do it. And I have tables of, you know, on the computer of actors. And then sometimes I agonize over a choice between two. In this case, it was not that bad because, you know, Lars was perfect for the role.
Yeah.
And Noel was perfect for the role. So I didn't really agonize that much. But when I found them, I knew it was the right thing. And then I just let them go. They're an autopilot after that. No, I know, yeah. Because they're the ones who their intuition in their first take as a good actor is the best one.
Okay, perfect. What do you think this film is trying to convey in terms of themes?
Well, what I said earlier is that a larger moral theme is that not only could we all be the Jews, we could also be the Nazis.
Yeah.
I think that's a statement, I guess. Hopefully people catch that. And that's it. I mean, really, the incredibly, I don't want to give away spoilers here, but the incredibly clever way that he does come up with the language and the resonance that it has because of what he uses to come up with the language, you know, mm-hmm. namely names. so you know, it's I don't think it's that much of a spoiler, but so he builds a memorial to the people that have perished by saving his own ass.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, if it was a film about him and the names weren't included, you know, and he just came up, he was so clever to come up with a language and remember all the words, we'd go, oh, kind of fun, you know, cool language.
Yeah.
Good for him. He survived, right?
Yeah.
But having that, you know, that the resonance of the final scene, I think makes it.
Okay. Well, all right, Vadim, thank you very, very much for sitting down, talking to me. Congratulations on everything going on with the film.
Thank you, Tyler. Thank you.
I look forward to any success that I just look forward to hearing about it more down the road.
Thank you. I'm glad you loved it. Thanks.